Just being that we're focusing a little bit on the Warsaw Ghetto. As C mentioned, one of the kvarim that we did, or two of the kvarim that we didn't have a chance to go to today, in the cemetery, the kvarim of the wife of the Piazhetzna and the son of the Piazhetzna, Klonimus Kalman Shapira, Piazhetzna Rebbe, is probably one of the greatest Torah personalities of the last 100 years. A man who was already known as a child prodigy before the war, was a musical prodigy, a Torah prodigy, became a very accomplished and well-respected Hasidic Rebbe at a very young age. But of course, all of that changed with the outbreak of the war. The Rebbe sent to the Warsaw Ghetto together with his mishpacha, together with his Hasidim, and already in the beginning of 1939, with the Polish bombardment of Warsaw, his wife died before the war, his mother had passed away in the bombardment, his son passed away, his daughter was killed, all of them in the bombardment. And the Rebbe used to give drushas every Shabbos that he was able to for the first couple of years. Those drushas were transcribed after Shabbos and afterwards were hidden in a canister, in a milk canister, discovered after the war. And it's heartbreaking when you look even in the introduction to the Rebbe's work, which was later on titled the Ish Kodesh, the fire of holiness, holy fire. In the introduction, the Rebbe discusses, he laments the loss of his mishpacha, and it was this point in time when his daughter Rachel was taken to Treblinka, and the Rebbe, in the introduction to Eish Kodesh, writes, davens for her safe return. The Rebbe did not realize that already at that time, she had already been killed. The Rebbe lost everything, including his own life. But every single time the Rebbe lost something or someone, he redoubled his efforts on behalf of his followers. When I say his followers, not just Piazhetzna Hasidim, he redoubled his efforts ultimately on behalf of all the residents of the ghetto, with the underground shul, the underground base medrash, the soup kitchen. If he didn't have his own mishpacha to look after, he would make sure to look after his extended mishpacha of Klal Yisrael. And as we stand here in this place, in the environs of the ghetto, I just want to draw your attention. I sent out a source packet in the WhatsApp. You don't have to open it now because you'll look at it on your own. But I want to draw your attention to two incredible pieces that the Rebbe wrote. Because they're pieces, you know, I try to learn from the Eish Kodesh every week, the Rebbe's piece in the particular parasha. And I want to tell you, I think it's required reading. Because the Rebbe's Divrei Torah are not just simply nice vartlach, nice shtiklach, nice insights into the parasha. The Rebbe's writings, the Rebbe's Divrei Torah, are literally what it means to be a Jew. And there are two pieces that I want to draw your attention to. One is a piece from Parsha Shlach, where we know the famous story of the Meraglim, as C made mention to before. The Meraglim come back from Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Canaan, they deliver their disastrous report about the land. And they say to the Jewish people, we can't go. The nation is too strong, they're too great, they're too mighty. And Kalev responds, and Kalev's response was, Alo na'ale ki achol nuchala. Let's go. Let's go, we can do it. And the Piazhetzna asks a simple question. He says, Kalev, what kind of answer is that? The Meraglim told you we can't go. The Meraglim told you, fortified cities, strong nations, we can't do it. The Meraglim were advancing specific arguments why the conquest of the land of Israel was impossible. And what does Kalev respond? Alo na'ale. Yes, we can go. We can do it. And the Rebbe says something amazing. Kalev was teaching us that in life, sometimes there are things that look impossible. But if you know that it is something you must do, then you must just repeat over and over to yourself. Alo na'ale ki nachol yuchala. Alo na'ale, alo na'ale, alo na'ale. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that the impossible is possible. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that if you have to move heaven and earth to accomplish your desired objectives, you have to do so. No matter what is standing in your way, says the Rebbe, you have to find a way to remove those impediments, to remove those obstacles, to remove those barriers. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two of the Piazhetzna that I want to highlight to you quickly and then just tie them both together is Avart, or really not Avart, I shouldn't say that, is a drasha the Rebbe gave in Parshas Yisro in 1939, Tafshin. And the Rebbe writes something amazing. He says in the introduction to this drasha, it says, "B'Shabbos zu hayisi behechavei." That Shabbos we were in hiding. They weren't able to convene the shul that Shabbos. There was something going on in the ghetto. And so the Rebbe delivered the drasha apparently to a much smaller crowd, even in more intense hiding. And in Parshas Yisro, the Rebbe asks another question. He says, we know that the sight for Matan Torah, the sight for Kabbalah Satorah, Sinaitic revelation, Jews were receiving the Torah, was on Har Sinai. Where's Har Sinai? Where's Mount Sinai? Somewhere. Somewhere, they say Rav Gorin used to say that he knew the location of Har Sinai. But almost everyone else, no one knows where's Har Sinai, I don't know. It's somewhere in the Sinai desert. And the Rebbe says, how could it be that the greatest sight of revelation, the sight where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, God revealed Himself to millions of people, men, women, and children, and where entire national identity is solidified and concretized at Mount Sinai, and yet we don't know the site, we don't know the address, we don't know the location. Look, we're spending a week coming back to sites, coming back to addresses, coming back to places. And the address and the site of the most important event that ever happened to our people, Kabbalah's HaTorah, is unknown? Doesn't make any sense. So you'll look inside sometime later on when we have some free time or on the bus. The Rebbe has a beautiful arichos. He explains this dramatically, but I'm going to give you the shortened version. In the shortened version, the Rebbe quotes the Rashi, and v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, you have to love Hashem, your God. Rashi says, shelo yehe libcha chaluk ala makom, which literally means your heart should not be divided against God. And what Rashi HaKadosh is saying on a simple level is you can't be a fair weather Jew. You have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when times are good, and you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu when times are difficult. Shelo yehe libcha chaluk ala makom. Your heart can't be divided against God. If you give me what I want, I love you. You don't give me what I want, I'm sorry, we're on the outs. But the Rebbe says there's a different interpretation. Shelo yehe libcha chaluk ala makom. He translates it literally. Let your heart not be divided against the place. Meaning what? Do not think that spirituality is tethered to geography. Says the Rebbe, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have let us know the site of Kabbalah's HaTorah of Sinaitic revelation, I might have thought that the only place to receive Torah is in Har Sinai, is in Mount Sinai. The same way that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu had God given the Torah in the land of Israel, I would have thought that spirituality is only to be found in the land of Israel. The Piagetzna says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in the middle of nowhere. Do you know why? He gave us the Torah in the middle of nowhere to teach us that you could find Torah anywhere. Shelo ye libcha chaluk ala makom. Sometimes we make the mistake of anchoring our spirituality either to geography or to life circumstances. I would be a good Jew if I'd learn more Torah, if I'd observe more, if I'd do more, if I'd have a stronger relationship with God, if. The Rebbe says that's not how we operate. If you want God, if you want the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want the relationship with the infinite and divine, if you want the beauty of Torah, the beauty of mitzvos, it's yours for the taking, wherever and whenever you are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah in the middle of nowhere to remind us that spirituality is accessible anywhere and everywhere. We just saw a bunker where there was war strategy, rebellion strategy, and the kolel happening at the same time. The Piagetzna kept the fire, not a spark, but a bonfire of Torah, burning in the ghetto, literally until he was taken away. The Rebbe, when you look at his drushas, in the beginning they're filled with so much optimism and hope. We're going to live through this, we're going to get through this. And then yes, the tone changes. And the tone changes to reflect the idea that we may not make it through this. But if we don't make it through it, we have to face this with poise, with pride, and with spiritual certitude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not left our side. He still loves us, He's still with us, no matter what is happening all around us. And this is the Yerusha. This is the inheritance we get from the Piagetzna. These two simple, yet profound ideas. The Piagetzna teaches us that we could be spiritual, holy beings, no matter what is happening in our life. Sometimes spirituality is easier, sometimes it's a bit more difficult. But no matter what the adversity, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the challenge, God is always waiting for a relationship with us. And lesson number two says the Piagetzna. Alo na'ala ki'achol nuchala. I would venture to say that all of us have things that we want to accomplish in life. And I would also guess that all of us have obstacles that are standing in the way of our accomplishments. And maybe there are things in life that we've wanted to accomplish for the last number of years. Maybe there are dreams that we've had since we've been children. But yet we have not seen those dreams to fruition, have seen them materialize because it's hard, because it's difficult, because there are obstacles and barriers. My dear friends, I would urge you to adopt these words of the Piagetzna as your mantra. Alo na'ale ki achol nuchala. The Piagetzna taught his kihila of the brokenhearted, the kihila of the Warsaw Ghetto, a kihila where there were no children, a kihila where there was no life, a kihila where everyone suffered in unimaginable ways. And he told them to dream. But more than dreaming, he told them to actualize those dreams, to realize those dreams. If our grandparents in this Gehenna were able to heed the words of the Piagetzna, may we be privileged in Yirtzeh Hashem to do the same.
Okay, let's just go around the other side, then we're heading to the back.
You have a... You recorded that?
Yeah.
Oh, you sent me that?
Yeah.